the headlines, the British government says it is considering deploying the military to deal with the disruptions caused by planned strikes. Hamas says its missile response to Israeli airstrikes in Gaza shows the Palestinian resistance will not allow Tel Aviv to change regional equations. And gunmen kill a dozen worshippers and kidnap several others from a mosque in Nigeria's northern state of Katsina. Thanks for joining us. The British government is considering seeking the military's help during planned strikes, including by the National Health Service. The Conservative Party chairman says the government wants minimal disruption to key public services. For months now, Britain has been witnessing back-to-back strikes across different sectors. The action has spread to the health sector, with nurses in England and ambulance workers in England and in Wales planning to stop work later this month. Under pressure, the government of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is reportedly even considering plans to curb the right to strike. Britain's woes are part of the wider economic crisis in Europe. The situation has been triggered by the inflation and surging energy prices that came on the heels of Western sanctions on Russia over the war in Ukraine. Our correspondent in London, Rob Carter, joined us earlier with more details on the strikes in the UK and how the new government is handling it.
You know, things like inflation are on the rise, cost of living, things are more expensive now, and people in many sectors feel as if their wages are not increasing in order to keep up with inflation, with price demands. So public sectors, especially like the NHS, are basically feeling the real squeeze. Their pockets are being pinched very much so, and they feel that they have been there during the hardest times, like, for example, during the COVID lockdown period, the pandemic. They were serving on the front lines trying to keep people alive during that horrific episode. And what they're essentially rather being rewarded for their dedication and their hard work, they're actually, in their mind, being punished with a lack of support from the government to help get them through this economic crisis, to help basically give them a wage that they can live off of. That's quite frankly it. There are other issues as well, and they're talking about now curbing the rights of people to protest, especially in the public services, because they have a lot of power to shut things down at a time when the government is already trying to push through controversial policies, controversial new laws, controversial new taxes on the horizon, that type of thing. And obviously, if the country just stops working, that proves to be devastating for this new government led by the relatively new Prime Minister Rishi Sunak.
It's time now for the news review of this bulletin. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas condemns Israel's latest attack on the Gaza Strip, saying that it has responded with missile fire. The movement says the regime will never succeed in hindering the Palestinians' struggle with its terrorist and Nazi behavior. Hamas says that it will not allow Tel Aviv to tip the balance in its favor by committing such atrocities. Rather, it will continue to protect the Palestinian people and will uphold resistance against the occupation regime. Israeli warplanes attacked the Gaza Strip late on Saturday, causing damage to homes and several facilities in Khan Yunis and Rafah. The regime says the strikes were in response to rocket fire from the territory. Ashraf Shannon is our correspondent, joining us from Gaza City with the latest. Saad Nimr is a professor of political science at Birzeit State University, who joins us from occupied Ramallah. Welcome to you both. Ashraf, tell us about what Israel has done and the response coming out of the Gaza Strip on this.
Well, Kabe, Israeli fighter jets attacked areas in the Gaza Strip, Rafah in the south, as well as Khan Yunis. They targeted Hamas security posts, causing severe damage to the areas and also to farmlands. There, the Israeli regime claims that the rocket fire was a response to an earlier rocket that was fired towards the Israeli regime, although no one has claimed responsibility for it. But immediately after the Israeli air raids on southern Gaza, Hamas's military wing, the Zedin Qassam Brigades, fired SAMs, surface-to-air missiles, at Israeli fighter jets. And since then, there were no Israeli fighter jets flying in the skies of Gaza following the use of the surface-to-air missiles by Hamas's military wing. Hamas movement spokesman Hazem Qasem said that the Palestinian resistance movement will not let the Israeli regime change the equation. They maintain that they will use fire for fire for every time the Israeli regime uses airstrikes or rockets against the Gaza Strip, and vowed to defend Palestinians everywhere. The escalation of the situation in the occupied Palestinian territory resulted from the latest killing of a young man in the occupied city of Nablus in cold blood by an Israeli soldier.
Well, Sadnam, when we first of all take a look at what is something that is not mentioned as much and is not remembered, that should be pointed out, is the fact that the Gaza Strip is still under an Israeli illegal siege, which at this point I believe is running on 15 years. And one of the things overall that Palestinians are experiencing in the occupied territories, the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are experiencing that maybe 10 times worse, because it's the largest open-air prison, as it's been called. Why is that not something that is being highlighted in order to at least show what Palestinians are feeling there?
It's quite clear for the Palestinians, but it is a good message to the Israelis. What's going on in the West Bank in the last year, at least, or in the last few months, if you like, it's escalating the aggression against the Palestinians in not expected even way against the Palestinians everywhere, and the grabbing of the land, demolishing of the houses, killing of the Palestinians. And we have many incidents that in one day you have five people were killed in the same day as murders. And the last killing was something, definitely. And this is, something make all the Palestinians feel together. So that rocket came out of Gaza is a very important message to the Israelis, that you have to remember that we are one people. And what happened in Gaza is affecting the West Bank, and what happened in the West Bank is also affecting the Gaza Strip. So it's a kind of a warning in a way or another. And the Israeli, they immediately responded by, escalating the situation in Gaza and bombarding Gaza. And the Palestinian resistance in Gaza, and especially Hamas, they fired this SAM rocket, which is unprecedented matter so far, to send, a kind of a SAM missile against the Israeli air force. It is something like new, and explain that maybe the resistance in Palestinian resistance in Gaza now do have a much better ability to confront the Israeli aggression in Gaza if that happened. But the most important message, as I said, is to send this message strongly to the Israelis that what's going on in West Bank, Gaza is not going to be silent forever for it. And if they continue with that kind of process against the Palestinians in the West Bank, definitely there will be an escalation, and that will include Gaza. Nobody would like, to have another war in Gaza, but if things went really so bad in the West Bank, as we remember last year, what happened when Gaza also participated in the Jerusalem march, which the Israeli wanted to do in the occupied Jerusalem, and the Gaza stood by the Palestinians in the West Bank at that time, and the whole situation was not only Gaza, West Bank, and even inside Israel for the Palestinian Arabs who are living inside Israel, they also went into this kind of demonstrations and fighting against the settlers. So the whole situation might be escalated if the Israeli continue to practice what they are doing now, and especially that we are expecting a new government which is even more to the right wing and more fascist kind of government, though the whole regime, the whole system in Israel is a colonial settler apartheid racist regime anyway. So, and they will continue with these atrocities, and we expect that if they did not stop what they are doing in the West Bank, we expect there will be an escalation in the whole region.
Well, Ashraf, we know that there have been Palestinians, as our guests there mentioned, that are being killed on a rather increased pace. I mean, this year is setting a record, over 200 Palestinians killed. And just recently we had two of the resistance fighters that were actually killed. I believe it was either in or around the Jenin refugee camp. What are the resistance groups out of the Gaza Strip saying about the rate of which Palestinians are being killed? Are they indicating that at some point the red line would be crossed and they might respond?
Well, all the statements that have been coming out from Palestinian resistance groups, mainly Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, they keep saying that they will respond in due time for the Israeli crime. And as you've mentioned, more than at least 205 Palestinians have been killed this year in the occupied territories, including some 50 in the Gaza Strip and around 160 in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. At one point, the situation will explode, and as the professor have said, with the upcoming Israeli extremist right-wing government, we expect more Israeli atrocities throughout occupied Palestine.
And finally, Saad Nimra, the brazen attack that took place recently, where you had two incidents happening rather in successive turns in the bus stops, if you recall, where you had the Palestinians execute this, which was really not only rather well planned, but it was very detailed intel that was shared in order to execute that. Doesn't that just show, A, the complexity that can be executed by Palestinians, and how, B, Israel's security system now is very fragile and is penetrable, and therefore they are weak when it comes to that?
Well, Yanni, we have to understand that in the last year there is also a huge development among the Palestinian resistance. We witnessed the Jenin refugee camp, and then we witnessed Arin al-Usud, the lions in Nablus, and we witnessed also the groups in Balata refugee camp, and now we are talking about also Hebron. So there is a kind of a development in the way of the Palestinian resistance. Groups are growing not only in quantities, but also in qualities, as you have mentioned. For the very first time, we started to take action, and the Israeli had to find the reaction. We expect that things are going even more and more into violence in the coming few months, and especially with this new government, because of the Israeli atrocities is not going to stop, and they are going to go on and on, because they are totally under the, if you like, the orders of the settlers, who are trying, you know, to grab the land and to right to take off all the areas, and especially in the West Bank, and that will escalate the whole situation. And more and more, I think, kind of operations we will witness. Now, the other thing is the running to kill the Palestinians by the soldiers, that indicates also that they are really terrified. Whenever, you know, they just fire at the Palestinian because they feel like, you know, any Palestinian could do a kind of an attack against these kind of soldiers and settlers. So because of that, yes, we feel that the Israeli also are intense, and especially the army. And the most important action happened in this year was the one in Shu'afat, where the Israeli, when they investigated the whole thing, they said that it was a disaster because they couldn't, you know, in front of one person who came to this roadblock, and he started, you know, shooting at the Israelis, and they couldn't do anything. They were terrified. and they investigate the whole situation, and they ended up in firing some of the officers because the conduct was really, really indicates a really not only fragile, but also they are really afraid and they are scared of the Palestinian resistance, which is coming to develop more and more during the coming days as well and months.
Thank you very much for that. That's Saad Nimr, professor of political science at Birzeit University. Ashraf Shannon, thank you so much, a correspondent there from Gaza City. And with that, we come to an end for this edition of the News Review. Thanks for tuning in. Palestinian activists and social media users are calling for a response to the Israeli killings and crimes committed against them. They're demanding that Palestinians step up their resistance and fight against occupation. The campaign has been launched in reaction to footage emerging of an Israeli soldier shooting a 23-year-old Palestinian four times at point-blank range at a checkpoint in Nablus. He was left bleeding to death while Israeli forces prevented medics from reaching him. Reacting to the incident, the UN Special Coordinator for the Middle East Peace Process has called for those responsible to be held accountable. Tor Wennesland says an immediate investigation should be conducted into the Israeli killings of Palestinians. In Nigeria, gunmen have attacked a mosque in the country's north, killing at least a dozen people, including the chief imam. Local residents in the town of Funtua in Katsina State say that a group of gunmen arrived at the mosque and started shooting sporadically, forcing worshippers to flee. The attackers then gathered many people and abducted them. Katsina police say that state-backed vigilantes, with the support of some residents, have managed to rescue some worshippers. Armed gangs known as bandits regularly attack Nigerian communities where security is stretched. They kill people or kidnap them for ransom. The gangs also demand villagers pay protection fees to be allowed to farm and harvest their crops. And that does it for World News. Bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, December 4th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world from N. Arun Kumar from India, Vlad Vinogradov from Russia, and Valentin Boratuno from Romania. And Arun Kumar, Vlad, and Valentin, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and your favorite program, Listeners Special. And of course, we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mention some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read these letters or emails. We've received an email from Mohammed Riel from Malaysia, one of our old and regular listeners. From Luxembourg, we've received an email from Serge Till. Mohammed Aslam from India has sent us an email. From Norway, we have an email from Radar Bo, one of our old and regular listeners. And the last but not the least in this program, we have an email from Lithuania from Thomas Biliaskas, one of our old and regular listeners. Stay with us, please. I will be back with these emails. This is Listeners Special, and we've received, as I said, piles of letters and emails from around the world. Now, here we have an email from Malaysia from one of our old and regular listeners, from Muhammad Bria. Let's see what Muhammad says. Thank you for your email. I still prefer to receive a paper QSL card. Inshallah, you will continue to post paper QSLs, although I do understand the cost factor and delivery problems should IRIB decide otherwise. EQSLs are okay. Thank you for your efforts. Kind regards from Malaysia. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mohammed Riel from Malaysia. And thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We wish you all the best. And as always, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And of course, we are looking forward to hearing from your opinions and attitudes about IRIB English Radio programs. Thank you, Mohammed Briel from Malaysia. And from India, we've received an email from Mohammed Aslam. Let's see what Mohammed says. Dear friends, thank you for your cooperation and good reception. I appreciate your shortwave programs, specifically those related to Islam and society. God bless you. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, Muhammad Aslam from India. And thank you very much for sending this message to IRIB English Radio and the program Listeners Special. Of course, we thank you for your support to IRIB English Radio, Muhammad Aslam from India. God bless you too. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Welcome back. From Luxembourg, we've received an email from Serge Till. Serge says, Dear staff, few days ago, I listened to your English program from 21:29 UTC to 22:45 UTC. I am located in Colmarburg in the center of Grand Duchy of Luxembourg. Can you please send me a QSL card or even an EQSL to my address? Thank you in advance and stay in good health. Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's good to hear that you can receive our signals in your region, Colmarburg, Luxembourg, as you noted. Of course, we will send you an electronic QSL as verification, and we wish you all the best. Serge Till from Luxembourg, And of course, we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon and know about your views and attitudes about IRIB English radio programs. From Norway, we've received an email from Radar Bo. Let's see what Radar Bo, one of our old and regular listeners, says. Hello again, dear friends. Gladly, I still listen to your English language programs. I like your commentaries and news bulletins. I have also attached a 60-second recording that was made at 1924 UTC that includes station announcements. The signal was very strong without interference from other stations, but the audio quality was not so good in my opinion. Any QSL cards would be very much appreciated. Thank you very much in advance. Salam from Tehran to Radar Bo from Norway, and please accept our warm appreciations to you for writing this email, Radar Bo from Norway. And thank you very much for letting us know your opinion about your favorite programs, as you noted that you like the commentaries and news bulletin. That's great. And you were also pleased with the quality of the signal, but you didn't like the quality of the audio, which will be checked by our experts very soon if the problem is on our behalf. We will send you an electronic QSL as verification. Radarbo from Norway, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and we wish you all the best. And after a short break, I will be back with you, dear listeners. Welcome back, and for your information, what you heard was a piece of music from Northern Iran. Well, from Lithuania, we've received an email from Thomas Biliauskas, one of our old and regular listeners. Thomas says, "Dear IRIB, I am a shortwave radio listener, and I would like to send you next reception report of your broadcast. It was difficult to listen because of weak signal and large amount of atmospheric noise. Sound of program was quiet and atmospheric noise overshadowed it. I tried it several times to listen to your English and other language programs and it was the same. The sound of program is too quiet and muffled by noise, so it is very difficult to listen to your broadcast. I continue to follow the events of your country and I'm wishing all the best for you. If you find the information given in my report is correct, I would highly appreciate to obtain your QSL verification card. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and thank you very much for this email, Thomas Biliauskas from Lithuania. We take your advices on the quality of the signal and the audio to our heart and fix the problem if it is on our behalf. Thomas Biliauskas, also thank you very much for your beautiful prayer. We also wish you all the best. Please accept our electronic QSL as a verification and write to us soon. And dear listeners, before we wrap up this edition of Listeners Special, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including N. Arun Kumar from India, Vlad Vinogradov from Russia, Valentin Bradatono from Romania, Thomas Biliauskas from Lithuania, Mohammed Riel from Malaysia, also Mohammad Aslam from India, Serge Chil from Luxembourg, and Radar Bo from Norway. dear listeners, many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and your favorite program, Listeners Special. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
Cultivating an Islamic identity has been our ongoing topic. It's a massive topic. It's a massive undertaking. So tonight, I want to look at God. And I want to start off by relaying this conversation between Shaitan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf. We're now, of course, you know, he, at this moment now, Shaitan now is asking Allah, Allah, I want to be, or grant me, anzurni ila yome yub'athun. Grant me respite until the day of uprising. It's interesting to note and scary to note that Shaitan, in who he is and what he ended up, was a jinn that believed in God. As a khalik, khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtuhu min teen. You created me from fire, he says. You created him from clay. He saw God as a khalik. And this request he has that I want respite ila yomi yub'athun means that he also believed in the day of judgment. He understood the magnitude of the announcement of the khilafat of Nabi Adam, which means this whole khilafat prophet system he also believed in. Yani, if we take just the bare minimum on paper, Muslim today is one who believes in Tawheed, prophethood, and the Day of Judgment. Precisely what Shaitan time and time again said, I also believe in that, but he's Shaitan. Scary. He says, Allah, I want respite. God says, قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْذَرِينَ. You're amongst the respited. Fine, I'll give you respite. Now, why he did? Again, outside of my topic. Then that's when he says, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Right? This was your fault, God. I blame you. You put me in this predicament. And because you did this to me, لَأَقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صَرَاتِكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I'm going to ambush them, meaning your servants, صَرَاتِكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Kaf, you know the pronoun, your path. Now, obviously, if he said صَرَاتَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, it would have made sense. We understand, right? The path to the casino is not صَرَاتَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. We know what that means. It's a path to God. But he was adamant, saying, it's not any path. I'm going to sit ambush on your path. Ambush meaning he doesn't announce that, you know, Shaitan 10 miles ahead. There's no sign saying, turn here for Shaitan. Ambush means like a cop in the bushes. You have no idea he's there until the lights go on. Shaitan now attacks sometimes out of the blue. Now, he goes on to talk about the idea that I will attack from the front and from the back and from the right, from the left. That's a different discussion altogether. But what I want to initially mention to all of you and myself tonight is this, that if we kind of do a summary, a khulasa, of how Shaitan infiltrates us, one thing that he wants to do is he wants to get into our system and change our bias towards God. Follow me. We all have our bias towards God, good or bad or, you know, confused, whatever it is. We have a bias. Bias meaning that we have a certain thought towards God. As the Holy Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala. If you want to measure, beautiful hadith, if you want to measure the distance between you and God, how close God is to you, measure how close you are to God. What a beautiful tradition this is. I am as my servant sees me, God says. If you see him as a wrathful God, if you see him as a punishing God, if you see him as a scary God, everything you go through, you simply confirm the bias. Every heartache, every mushkilat, every struggle, every sakhti, every broken engagement, every miscarriage, every diagnosis, see, he has it out for me. And all you do is you confirm the bias. If you see God as a merciful, loving, compassionate God, everything, hatta even a pandemic, you'll see as from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaitan wants to come in and play with that bias, because he knows that you live and die by this bias. Comes in and plays with it, and wants you to believe that God doesn't want to hear from you, God has it out for you, you're not in God's good books, all these things are there. So tonight, what I want to present to all of you is the idea that even if we have a certain image of God inside of us that has come from, let's say, our childhood, our madrasa teacher, some scholar, our parents, whatever the case may be, that doesn't have to be the only way we see God. You can be in awe of God. You can be fearful of God. You can tremble when you think about upsetting him. But that also means you're in love with God as well. So maybe that trauma you have when you're a child, maybe that idea that I'm fearful of God isn't so bad. Maybe that can be converted into the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know that his qualities are muttasil bizat. It is part of his essence. They're not separate from his essence. It can't be that I take only this from God or that from God. At the same time, it's really the beautiful balance of Allah and the blessing of Allah. He says, if you find one path to me, that's fine. That's all I want. Just find one path to me. I mentioned the hadith of the Prophet. He says, as many breaths as there are in this universe, there are that many paths to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are a lot of you who attach yourself to Allah being a raziq. There are a lot of you that attach Allah through his rahmaniyat, let's say, for example. But the way that he almost, presents this to us is that if that's your one path, fine. But once you open that path, a number of other paths will open. Meaning what? You might think you have only treaded one path, but in reality, you've embraced all of me in that path. Look, the moment that you understand, Wallahu khayru raziqin, he is the greatest raziq, right? And you tread that path, meaning what? You beg him by that name. Once you understand that he's the one that will cure your sickness or cure my sickness, and I go and I turn to him now and I ask him, you know what? Cure my mother, cure me, cure my father. I don't understand subconsciously. I'm actually pleading and asking him for several other of his qualities. All in one. I see it as one path, but it's not one path. It's multiple paths. Even when I beg him for a job or I beg him for enough money for a new house in this market, I'm doing that. I'm asking him for the sake of his raziqiyat. He is, of course, the one who is the sustainer and he gives us, but also through his justice and his mercy and his kindness, all of that is encompassing in that one path. If you have one path of God and you only know God through one angle, don't assume it's one angle. It's not one angle. It's multiple angles. There might be angles that you're looking for inside of you. Oh, I wish I had this. I wish I could do what it says and see Allah for His beauty. All I see is fear, fear, fear. But that fear is love. It's a matter of you looking at it through a different lens, changing the bias. Don't allow shaitan to infiltrate you and play with your mind to say, you know what? That Allah will never accept you. If I take a survey of this building right now, the sister side, outside, inside the tent, everybody, the security guard, the whole nine, and I ask them, do you think that what you do is good enough to please God right now in your world? I don't know how many of you would say, yes, I think I've earned the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll all believe that our a'mal is naqis. It's not enough. It's not sufficient. It's broken. And part of it is our humbleness. But I fear to say a little bit is the fact that I don't know if I know how to please God or if He'll ever be pleased with me. That's a better statement. I don't think He'll ever be pleased with me is a more dangerous statement than my humbleness. My young guys, I mean, I think that some of you have it in for yourself. There's no way, I said, by that he's gonna forgive me. I don't see it. You have no idea what I've done. It's possible to look at God through one lens, and a number of lenses now come in that one lens.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mati.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Russian news agencies are saying former U.S. intelligence contractor Edward Snowden, who fled prosecution after revealing highly classified U.S. government surveillance programs, has received a Russian passport and taken the oath of citizenship. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Associated Press has covered this story. Former U.S. intelligence contractor Edward Snowden, who fled prosecution after revealing highly classified surveillance programs, has received a Russian passport and taken the oath of citizenship, according to Russian news agencies, quoting his lawyer on Friday. Lawyer Anthony Kucherena was reported as saying that Edward Snowden got the passport and took the oath of allegiance on Thursday, about 3 months after Russian President Vladimir Putin granted him citizenship. The reports did not specify whether Snowden has renounced his U.S. citizenship. The United States revoked his passport in 2013, leading to Edward Snowden being stranded in a Moscow airport for weeks, after arriving from Hong Kong, aiming to reach Ecuador. Russia eventually granted him permanent residency. He married the American citizen Lindsay Mills in 2017, and the couple have now two children. In Washington, State Department spokesman Ned Price said on Friday that the United States was aware of reports that Edward Snowden had finalized his Russian citizenship but could not confirm them, and referred questions about his status to the Russian government. However, Ned Price said the Biden administration would not be surprised if the reports were indeed correct. Mr. Snowden has long signaled his allegiance to Russia. This step would only formalize that, Ned Price told reporters. Edward Snowden leaked documents on the National Security Agency's collection of data passing through the infrastructure of U.S. phone and internet companies. He also released details about the classified U.S. intelligence budget and the extent of American surveillance on foreign officials, including leaders of countries allied to the United States. Edward Snowden says he made the disclosures because he believes the U.S. intelligence community had gone too far and infringed on civil liberties. British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story and gives us more detail. Edward Snowden has received a Russian passport after swearing an oath of allegiance to the country that has sheltered him from US authorities since 2013, his lawyers have said. Edward Snowden, a 39-year-old, a former intelligence contractor who leaked secret files, was granted Russian citizenship in an order signed by Russian President Vladimir Putin in September. On Friday, Edward Snowden's lawyer, Anatoly Kucherena, said Snowden had received his passport. He took the oath of allegiance, he said. The decision has come at an extremely inauspicious moment. Anatoly Kucherena said on Friday that Edward Snowden was happy and that Russian citizenship would prevent him from being extradited to the United States. He, of course, is happy and thankful to the Russian Federation for his citizenship. He's now a fully-fledged citizen of Russia, Kucherena said. And most importantly, under the Russian constitution, he cannot be given up to a foreign state. Kucherena could not immediately be reached for further comment. In Washington, State Department spokesman Ned Price said the United States was aware of reports that Edward Snowden had finalized his Russian citizenship, and said the Biden administration would not be surprised if the reports were in actual fact correct. Mr. Snowden has long signaled his allegiance to Russia. This step would only formalize that, Ned Price told reporters and journalists. Individuals receiving Russian citizenship are required by law to pledge to observe the constitution and legislation of the Russian Federation, the rights and freedoms of its citizens, to fulfill the duties of a citizen of the Russian Federation for the benefit of the state and society, to protect the freedom and independence of the Russian Federation, and to be loyal to Russia and to respect its culture, history, and traditions. Edward Snowden's wife, Lindsay Mills, is also said to be applying for Russian citizenship. They live at an undisclosed location in Russia with their two sons, who were both born in Russia. Edward Snowden wrote in September, "After years of separation from our parents, my wife and I have no desire to be separated from our sons. After 2 years of waiting and nearly 10 years of exile, a little stability will make a difference for my family. I pray for privacy for them and for us all." VOA News has also covered the same story and gives us more detail. Former U.S. intelligence contractor Edward Snowden, who exposed the scale of secret surveillance by the National Security Agency, NSA, has sworn an oath of allegiance to Russia and received a Russian passport, according to Russia's Itatas news agency. Yes, he got a passport, he took the oath, Anatoly Kucherena, Edward Snowden's lawyer, told the Itatas news agency. Snowden, a 39-year-old, did not immediately reply to a message seeking comment on the report. Russian President Vladimir Putin in September granted Russian citizenship to Edward Snowden, who fled the United States after leaking secret files that revealed the extensive eavesdropping activities of the U.S. government and even eavesdropping on world statesmen and countries which are allies to the United States. Defenders of Edward Snowden hail him as a modern-day dissident for exposing the extent of U.S. spying. Opponents say he's a traitor who endangered lives by exposing the secret methods that Western spies use to listen in on hostile states and on militants.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Current world order will be replaced by a new order where US is isolated, Asia powerful, resistance front expanded. This is the part of a speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution during a meeting with students on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. This meeting was held on the occasion of National Students' Day and National Day of Fighting Against Global Arrogance, which are commemorated on the 13th of Aban, 4th of November. The Americans currently have bases in many different regions, including our region, in Europe, in Asia. They have populated military bases whose expenses are paid by taking money from the poor country in which the base is located. These countries are expected to cover the expenses while the Americans sit back and lord over them. This will be over soon. The United States will have to pack its bags and leave these different places in the world. This is the first main line of the basic lines that form the new order of the future world. The second basic line is the transfer of political, economic, cultural, and even scientific power from the West to Asia. Today, Western powers have political authority, scientific authority, cultural authority, and economic authority. They have many things. However, perhaps a more accurate interpretation would be to say they had these things, but are gradually losing them. But they had these for many years. The West acted like this for two or three centuries. In the new order, this state will be transferred from the West to Asia. Asia will become the center of knowledge, the center of economics, as well as the center of political power and the center of military power. And we are in Asia. That is the second point.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The third basic line includes the expansion of the idea of resistance and the resistance front against coercion. The initiator of this is the Islamic Republic, because ever since the Industrial Revolution took place and the Europeans started advancing and colonizing other countries, they made the people and the countries of the world get used to the fact that submission and dominance are two inevitable corresponding parts of the world.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. I wanna thank you for bringing me home.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.